Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
Hello, and welcome to an hour of mind power. This is Donna Sebo, and we have a program for you today. If you have ever wanted to have an insight on how to work with current health food systems, do you feel as if you're walking through a labyrinth of paperwork, total confusion about the cost, wondering what in the world can you as a layperson do about your own wellness, your own life? Well, my guest today, Dr. Lou, Dr. Davis Lou, has a fabulous publication that I really think everybody should read. It's called Stay Healthy, Live Longer, and Spend Wisely, Making Intelligent Choices in America's Healthcare System. Dr. Lou, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me today.
Well, I am so pleased to have had the opportunity to review your material and to find that your book is just absolutely packed with all kinds of information. Now, as a physician, I know you're busy. Why did you feel that you wanted to come to the forefront to educate people? What was it that on a personal level you felt was important that people be educated? There's a lot of people out there in the medical profession that just don't have the time to share what they know.
Well, certainly I would agree. I'm one of the people who obviously doesn't have enough time either. We're all pretty busy. But I think the aha moment came when I realized that if I had finished business school, which I did, and gone on to pursue that career, not been a doctor, there would have been a lot of different outcomes I think my family would have encountered, being just oblivious to what's going on in the healthcare system. So I thought it was important that I get the word out, because it's not fair just because I'm a doctor, my family benefits. In fact, the healthcare system fails all of us most of the time. And so it's important that each of us have the insider's knowledge, if you will, to make sure they get the right care at the right time. So hence that's why I spent a lot of time trying to write this book, to get the word out there.
Well, I really appreciate it. I'm going to give just a couple of points of information about you. You graduated summa cum laude and Phi Beta Kappa from the Wharton School of Business and from the University of Connecticut School of Medicine. And you have written in the San Francisco Chronicle and the Sacramento Bee, you are a practicing board-certified family physician with a Permanente Medical Group in Northern California. And you have some phenomenal points of information, and I just thought I'd share a few of them with my listeners. Hip replacement surgery, not including doctor's fees, lab tests, and medication, $25,000. If someone needs an ambulance, that's $550, could go up from there. You have a day and night in the hospital. This blew me away. I honestly did not think it was this high. A day and night in the hospital, not including doctor's fees, lab tests, and medication, $3,600. It just is on the hip replacement surgery, $25,000. You just have all kinds of information here that when you read it, your eyes just keep getting bigger and bigger and bigger. So let's address some of the points that you have brought out in your book. One, let's talk about what people need to really understand. You start off in the very first part of your book with one sentence. It says, the U.S. healthcare system is in crisis, period. Tell us why that's the case.
Oh, where do you start with that? I mean, basically, the fundamental question this country has not yet answered: is health insurance a luxury or is it essential? Basically, what's happening now, the system is fragmenting in front of our eyes. Those who need health care are paying more, and those who don't need health care opt not to choose, and those who need it but can't afford it have no choice. So basically the system is not decided for us, and we haven't decided as a country whether or not it's essential or a luxury. Well, every other country in the world has decided it's essential for its citizens to stay healthy and live long. So that's basically the real reason. So basically you're seeing cost shifting. Those that don't need health care, when they do need it and they don't buy insurance, they get jacked up four times the rate. Those of us who are insured are subsidizing those that have no health care. And those who are ill and getting eating care actually are paying more. So I think you're seeing a lot of cost shifting here. And this is a fundamental question we have in this country to answer, which we'll see if time will tell.
You make a comment in your book that spending more doesn't promise better outcomes. And what your book, Stay Healthy, Live Longer, Spend Wisely, is about, and I really appreciated this, it was educating on different levels. And I like the statement that you make in your book that the individual is its most important financial asset, period. If you have lousy health, you are going to not be happy with life regardless. And it is not fun, having been through it, seen a lot of people over the years go through so many challenges, and people that maybe thought they had saved enough money and they're destitute, that, you know, maybe a family member has become ill. It happens at any age. It's not exclusive to any particular age group. I've seen it on all levels. And you have a very proactive attitude about let's take care of ourselves. So I'd like to touch on a number of different questions. You have one in your book, Why Now, Why Me? Do I Even Need Health Insurance? And there's a lot of people, when they look at the premiums, and sadly a lot of them are mature people, they'll look at it and say, can I afford this? I just can't afford it. I'm on a limited budget now. I'm not strong enough. I can't go out and work. Do I need health insurance? How am I going to pay for this? Medicare, Medicaid? And this is just such a quagmire of confusion for so many. Address that question.
Well, first of all, I agree. People assume health is a given thing that's always going to be with us. And the fact is, as you point out brilliantly, is that health is a very precious and a very fragile thing. I mean, young kids who don't ever have chances to abuse their bodies with alcohol or other substances develop cancer at a young age. I mean, older people can get developed all kinds of illnesses. So health can disappear in a moment's notice. And the other point I make also is that the fact that health is critical to have a good life. And so if you want to make more money, you've got to be healthy. In fact, the ability to be healthy and earn more money is actually a much more powerful financial tool than anything you own, whether it's your house or your stock market, which these days aren't going well anyway. But if you had good health, that's priceless. You can always generate more money. So it boils down to this. If you've got the most precious financial asset, which is your health, are you doing everything possible to stay healthy and keep it running? And most of us don't. Most of us kind of take it for granted. And then the other issue is our health care system, if that is the governing agent that's supposed to help us stay healthy, is it doing everything possible to keep us healthy? And the answer is no. And we only get the right stuff done 55% of the time. So the basic stuff like getting your mammogram, reminding you to get your colon screen for colon cancer, basic things like that, getting to lose weight, stay healthy, get a normal blood pressure, prevent premature death, our system does lousy. We actually have twice as many Americans die of premature death than we do of breast cancer every year because our health care system does poorly. So in the end, if your health is very important to stay healthy and also generate more money so you have a high quality of life, if the health insurance industry is supposed to keep us healthy and yet it does poorly, then that behooves the individual, meaning you and I, to make sure we have the right information, we choose wisely on which plans we want to keep, which things we must do to stay healthy. That way we protect our family and our friends the best way possible we know how, so that there is a rewarding life and it's a long, productive one, as opposed to one tragically cut short because the wrong choices were made.
You talk about a part-time waiter in your book who was profiled on NBC's Dateline. And the case here was such a good one. He was 24 years of age and was seriously injured while traveling on the Staten Island Ferry. Now, this was in October of 2003, and it was one of the worst accidents in New York's history. The man required multiple surgery, rehabilitation, physical therapy treatment, and medication. His total health care cost, and this is just mind-boggling, is $213,000, which included x-rays, which came to $2,700, medications, $13,000, various services, $15,000, ICU care, $15,000, and use of a semi-private room, $60,000. Now, you stay here. In the end, he had some of his costs covered and enrolled in a state-funded Medicaid program for the poor. But here he has got this astronomical amount of debt that he's going to be dealing with for a long time. These are numbers when you hear them. We had a very dear friend of ours who went in for heart surgery. I mean, it was a critical situation. It was $250,000 for his care. And it just, when he saw the bill, fortunately he had good health coverage. When he saw the bill, it just almost made him have another heart attack. That's sort of tongue-in-cheek when I'm saying it, but he said he couldn't believe the numbers. He just was just amazed. You talk about prevention, and one of the focuses that you have, you go through many different, I'm going to be bouncing around in the book, but you go through many different points. You talk about the quality of the health insurance plan. Address that for us, please.
Well, again, people assume health care in this country is created equal. They assume that the health insurance they buy, whether it's Plan A or Plan B, can be decided on price. But what's interesting, most people don't know it, health insurance is very different. So one plan might be very good at keeping you healthy. It might remind the doctors or remind you you're due for your cholesterol, to get your blood pressure checked, to get your mammograms done. And the other one won't. And so one's invested to keep people healthy and one isn't. And if you choose the one that isn't, you're likely to be one of the 80,000 Americans who died prematurely last year. That's twice the number who died of breast cancer. To give you an idea what that means, okay? If there, and these people, by the way, all had health insurance. These are not the uninsured. These are people all had health insurance. That these people died prematurely because their health insurance plan did not get them to do the right things, did not remind the doctors, did not remind them. So these people, had they been enrolled into the top health plan in the country, the top 10%, they'd be around walking and talking with their friends and family today. And these are preventable deaths that are completely avoidable, and these are basic, boring things. And so people assume that buying health insurance is like any other thing. You should assume that there's good quality and poor quality. If you spend a lot of time buying a car and researching that, you should add a very minimum research and find which health plans are the right ones for you and for your medical problems and illnesses, that you know that you're getting the latest care and the best care consistently.
You talked just a moment ago about how we need to investigate things. You say, do your homework, question everything. You had a story about your own family and how your brother had had a sore throat, there were charges, your mother questioned things, and she found out that there had been incorrect processes done. How was that finally resolved?
Well, again, this is where it's the tragedy of our healthcare system. You'd think it'd be so smooth, but it's like going to the DMV. She got a pre-approval to go see a specialist, and in fact, the insurance company thought he didn't get a pre-approval, and so they billed him the full charge of the specialist. And so she had to call down the primary care doctor, had to call down the specialist, get phone numbers, get addresses, get authorization. That's a lot of time and frustration on the phone, and that's just a simple example of a sore throat. You can imagine your friend who had open-heart surgery, goodness gracious, if someone billed the wrong surgeon, billed the wrong room and stuff, he'd have to wade through a bunch of bills that would, as you point out, cost $250,000. And so it's just frustrating to add insult to injury. When you're sick, you've got to deal with all these other bills later on. So unfortunately, it's back on us again. You have to look at every bill that you take, just like your credit card bill. You've got to review it over its fine-tooth comb, make sure someone didn't bill you twice, make sure they got the right person. Make sure they billed you for the right procedure. You'd be shocked to see how many errors there are in hospital bills these days.
I agree with that. Now, you bring out another point, that hospitals trying to cover costs are charging uninsured patients up to four times more than insured patients. I know you can walk into an emergency room in the state of Washington, which happened to me about 4 years ago. I was astonished to find out that I was automatically charged $1,000 as soon as I signed for emergency care. And then there was an additional $1,000 put on the bill. We saw a bill of $2,000, and unfortunately our insurance company took care of half of it. But we still had to pay out $1,000. I spent 4 hours there in a waiting room in the ER, and the doctor gave me all of maybe about 10 minutes of time. And it was amazing. I mean, it was just a firsthand experience. And I think of so many people that need care, and so many of the clinics have disappeared, and the costs are so astronomical. When I read that statement, and then you say medical costs are continuing to rise, my goodness. There's a lot of people that are going to throw their hands up and say, it's less expensive for me just to not even bother and take things come what may.
And that's the thing, is because although that was a very expensive visit, sometimes, you know, let's say you're having a heart attack. You said, well, you know what, I can't afford $2,000, and they delay care. Well, now they're whopping a $250,000 open heart surgery. So I agree, this is not something that I wish upon anybody. I agree that our country needs health care reform, and time will tell whether or not that will occur. But yes, the fundamental premise is this. Everyone needs health insurance. You can get as skimpy as a plan where it's got a high deductible, but you've got something called catastrophic coverage. So God forbid you need that, you know, chemotherapy, which costs tens of thousands of dollars, or open heart surgery. You're kind of protected from going into bankruptcy, because frankly, the number one cause of personal bankruptcy now is medical-related expenses.
Mm-hmm.
So, yes, you're right. Healthcare is expensive. Yes, emergency rooms are expensive. And, yes, at the very minimum, if you get health insurance, if not to stay healthy, it's to prevent you from getting gouged by hospitals, because anyone who walks in the emergency room, by law, is allowed health care, but that care isn't free. And so who are they going to charge it on? Well, they can't charge it on the person who has no assets. They charge it against the insurance companies and those of us who have insurance. So what do the insurance companies do? Well, because they're covering for care that isn't compensated by their shareholders, meaning you and I, people who enrolled in it, they've got to jack up our rates. So it's a vicious cycle, and it goes back to the fundamental premise. Our country has not answered, is healthcare a luxury or is it an essential? And until we figure that out, it means each of us has got to defend our own sort of health, and we've got to make sure we make the right choices. Again, I didn't want to write a book. It's kind of interesting. As I'm going through the healthcare system as an insider, you start seeing these things because I deal with it every day, taking care of people. But for those of us who don't see the healthcare system, you just have one encounter 1 year and you're just blown away from that. And then you're not sure if you'll ever come back and see us, when in fact we've got to make sure we take great care of you, or give you the information to take great care of yourself. That way you don't have to interact with us as much as sometimes you need to.
Very good point. Let's talk about mastering the 10-minute doctor office visit. Your quote is 23 seconds. That's the average amount of time a doctor waits before interrupting a patient. To me, that's appalling, because everybody's different. 23 seconds. I mean, someone may be so uncomfortable, have so much pain, that they have to think before they even respond. And 23 seconds, you blink, and it's gone.
Well, yeah, absolutely. And so here's the thing. Doctors, you know, because they're increasingly busy, they might be seeing 20 to 30 patients a day. They're used to kind of this rapid rhythm. You know, they walk in, they walk out, walk in, walk out. So instinctively, they may interrupt you not meaning to. And then on the other hand, you've got the person who may not have seen a doctor for 5 to 10 years or gotten the courage now to show up, and they get interrupted and they kind of leave completely frustrated and kind of not sure what happened in there. So I talk about the visit and how to structure it in a method that makes sense for you as the patient to get your points across. And one of the things I'd say is make sure you take the most important problem first. Make sure if it is chest pain you're talking about, to say it right up front. Nothing scares doctors these days. In fact, what worries us the most is when we're about to leave, that's when you bring up the most pressing problem. And number two, just make sure you structure just two or three items you really want to talk about. Make sure you spend time on things that are important to you. If you know it's a cold, I'd argue don't waste your time talking about a cold, because you know what? It costs more to see a doctor these days. They seem increasingly rushed these days. Make your money on things that are very important to you. Make sure the things you want to talk about are vital. The other things like allergies and things like that, get a good reference book on figure out what things you don't need to see your doctor for, and really spend the time on things that are very important to you.
What if a patient doesn't have the presence of mind to really communicate? Would you encourage them to have an advocate with them that could help communicate? I mean, how do you feel as a physician when you're examining someone and you just know that there's another family member there? Do you invite them in to have a conversation with them? Because sometimes, depending on the cultural environment a person comes from, and or their own shyness. I mean, I've heard the story of a woman who went with her husband to the doctor, and the doctor was asking him how he felt. He said, oh, just fine. And then the doctor happens to see the wife. Oh, they say, oh, how are you? Come on in for a minute. Talks to the wife, and he finds out the guy had been passing out.
Well, here's the thing. I mean, you've got to respect the patient and also the family because, for example, if the family member wants to be there, which is fine, they need to have the patient's permission. Now, oftentimes in that situation, you know, a wife will come in, and encourage this if spouses are worried. They'll come in and say, you know, doc, I've just got, you know, I just want to tell you a few things, and then I'll let you two talk. You know, she's going to leave, or he is going to leave and let us talk. You know, I've got a few things I want to tell you about, you know, my husband, Bob. You know, he's passing out, as you point out. And say a few other things, and then she'll leave. That way we can have our private time. Because, you know, it is very important that the patient and doctor have a good, trusting relationship. That stuff that's spoken about is confidential. So I encourage family members, if they're worried, they need to come with their spouse or their family member. But also be careful of that, because I also think, you know, in some situations, for example, teenagers are a good example. They're uncomfortable talking about certain things in front of their parents. So they, you know, parents will come in, say a few things, and leave. Understand they need that distance, that builds mm-hmm. my relationship. And number two, in a situation where it's domestic violence or domestic abuse, you've also got to realize sometimes the perpetrator is the one in the room.
Right.
And you need to kick them out too. So I'd say it is, if you're a concerned family member, try to make it to an appointment if you can, but then respect the doctor and the patient and say, you know what, I'll leave, if it's okay with the patient and the doctor. Some you know, patients don't care. They everything is fine with them, and so they're happy to have the spouse there. But I'd say you've got to kind of, as a concerned family member, you've got to be able to juggle that respect between the doctor and the patient. But I think you should also be worried if a doctor never wants to talk to you or get your input either. It's a very important patient with Alzheimer's or memory problems. They're clearly not going to know what's going on, and so you do need a trusted family member there. So just be mindful and respectful of both the doctor and the patient's boundaries.
I think that's very, very good. Also, let's talk about immunizations and vaccinations. You bring out a point about the elderly and the pneumonia vaccine and the difference that has made. Now, there's a place for vaccines, I feel, in life, and then there's other ones, and this is just my bias. There's other things that are promoted all the time, and I go, what a waste. It's not keeping up with what's really happening, and you keep pumping stuff into people's bodies. How should people approach the vaccinations and the immunizations?
Well, people have, short memories. I'm sure many in your audience remember a time when polio was very common among kids. They actually closed pools down.
Mm-hmm.
Measles, mumps, and rubella were pretty common. In fact, I'm young enough to actually have chicken pox at a young age as a child. But, you know, these generation of children these days don't have to worry about getting devastating polio. Don't have to worry about getting measles. They don't have to worry about getting chicken pox now. But the funny thing is, when we flip it to adults, we tend to say, well, that can't affect me, and pneumonia can kill tens of thousands of people every year, even with the best antibiotics we have in this country. The flu still kills people in this country. And so there are some vaccines that should be used, should be done routinely for us to stay healthy and well. There are some vaccines that are kind of questionable, like, you know, you may hear something about shingles and zoster, and that's probably, who knows if that's a real benefit. Then there's other newer ones that protect women from HPV, human papillomavirus, which may decrease the risk of cervical cancer. Now think of that. A vaccine that can actually prevent cancer. And yet, we may not want our kids to have it yet because there's all kinds of other issues going on. So I say to people, if you don't want to see the doctors, if you want to stay healthy and well, you should get an immunization like a pneumonia vaccine and flu shot, pneumonia vaccines over age 65 or younger if you have asthma or emphysema, and the flu shots every year. And by the way, since med school, since 1993, I've had a flu shot every year just because, one, I believe in it, and two, Actually, I've seen it in action where there's a big difference between someone who's had it and someone who hasn't. The recovery time with someone who had it was in and out of bed within a day. Someone who hadn't had it was in bed for a week, and these people were 20 years old. So you can imagine as we're older how much longer it takes for us to recover.
You have a very good section in your book regarding medications, and you have a quote from Dr. William Osler, who is a very, very famous Johns Hopkins physician. And this was back in the 1890s. The desire to take medicine is perhaps the greatest feature which distinguishes man from animals. And I sort of got a chuckle out of that because everybody wants a magic pill. But medications aren't something to fool around with because they are a chemical and they do have results. And if someone needs it, fine. But you have to pay attention to it. Address that for a moment.
Well, the challenge is really this one, which is back about 10 years ago, manufacturers were allowed to market directly to consumers. And so now you're watching drug ads almost the same way you'd watch detergent and soap ads on TV, which is, well, maybe this is the right thing for me. Is it that brand? I mean, medications are, as you point out, very serious chemicals that can affect the body in many miraculous ways to prolong life or maintain high quality of life. But people get kind of suckered into thinking that those are the only drugs for them or these are the type of brands when, in fact, there are plenty of other ones that are older, proven, and very safe, in fact. And so one concern is when you do have a conversation with your doctor about drugs or medications, if it's one, always ask your doctor if that particular one they recommend or the one you saw on TV is the right one for you and if there's something better or safer or if there's alternatives besides medications to use. This country seems to knee-jerk medications. But on the flip side, I see a lot of patients who actually don't want medications, even though as a doctor, I don't write them that often, but I write them when I know they can save lives. And they have this perverse thought that they're deadly. In fact, a lot of advances these days, like penicillin, aspirin, these things didn't occur a generation ago, and these save lives. So I think when it comes to medications, be frank with your doctor. Talk about why they asked this particular brand for you, because what people often don't realize is pharmaceutical companies spend most of their marketing budgets promoting their drugs and medications to doctors, not to the public. So if you and I are kind of fooled with the ads on TV and the magazine that we read, doctors are getting inundated with even more information. In fact, Merck, which had their Vioxx pain pill, which was recalled a few years ago, spent more money that year promoting their drug than Budweiser did for beer or Pepsi did for their cola. So there's a lot of money out there, and you've got to be careful when you do get prescribed something if that's the right one for you.
Yes, I always advocate that people need to make very good friends with their local pharmacists because they often can tell you a lot of good information. You have a quote in here about 2005, a handful of medical centers, including those at the University of Pennsylvania, Yale, and Stanford, as well as the integrated healthcare organization Kaiser Permanente, began prohibiting their physicians from receiving gifts from pharmaceutical representatives. And that is a big step forward, I think.
It's a huge step. And just recently, the American Colleges of Medical Schools actually had a recommendation. They recommended all 129 medical schools have the same policy. It was just reported this past week or so. So it's going to stop the medical students from getting influenced early on. So I think these are big steps. Time will tell if this will take hold. Because a lot of doctors feel that they've kind of earned this privilege, if you will, to have to be taken out to nice restaurants and nice conferences by drug reps, and then they don't realize that their ability to be objective gets skewed quite a bit. So if we want to maintain the trust with our patients, we need to remove any sense of impropriety. And I think these leaders in 2005, you point out, the current stance of medical schools now, I think we'll really turn the tide, and I think you'll be able to have an honest conversation when doctors write you medication that's the right one for you and not the latest one promoted by a company.
Also, I wanted to address, you have so much good information in your book, Dr. Lude, that hospitalist, that's a brand new term for me. Tell us what a hospitalist is.
Well, a hospitalist is a doctor whose office is the hospital. In the past, you know, a doctor like myself would have patients who were hospitalized. And so before the office, we'd go see them in the morning. Then we'd take care of our patients during the office hours. And then at the end of the day, we'd go see our patients again in the hospital. But as patients have gotten more complex, people are living longer with more illnesses, the hospital patient is actually much more complicated. And that whole field of medicine is evolving very rapidly. So as a result, doctors now are dedicated to the hospital. In other words, their office is the hospital. And so a primary care doctor like myself no longer sees patients in the hospital, but in fact hands off that care to someone who's dedicated in the hospital. The advantage for you as a patient is a number. Number one is the family, and the patient have access to a doctor for that full 8 hours. In the past, I'd be gone from morning till night. But now that doctor actually works in the hospital, is there for those full 8 hours. And number two, that doctor is very astute and aware of how to manage patients through the hospital, because hospitals are very much like labyrinths. They're very confusing and kind of often filled with dead ends at same time, and care is often delayed. And so hospitals are basically dedicated and advocates for you. Their research shows that actually they provide the same level of care as the traditional model I talked about a second ago, and in fact actually decrease the hospital number of days they're in the hospital and maybe cost. Now, why is that important to you? Hospitals aren't the safest places in the world. A lot of people are sick there. Medical errors, you always hear about in the news. And so your job is to make sure if you're going to be in the hospital, you try to be there as little as possible and try to get out there as healthy as quickly as possible. And so hospitals are really a good way to find that type of care.
And Dr. Liu, you have in here an excellent free reference, the Merrick Manual of Medical Information, Home Edition. And you say it can be found on the website Merrick, MERCK.com/MMHE. Again, for those listeners, MERCK.com/MMHE. Dr. Liu, this has been absolutely marvelous. Your book is just a powerhouse of information. Stay healthy, live longer, spend wisely, making intelligent choices in America's health care system. Do you have a website, Dr. Liu?
Yes. In fact, I'd love to tell you, listeners on my website, it's www.davisliumd, that's DAVISLIUMD.com. It not only has that link to the Merck Manual Home Edition, it
oh,
also
great.
Has free downloads for your members to listen and also read on how to pick a high-quality health insurance plan, and also a quick handout to give to their doctor on their past medical history so their doctor knows who they are, or maybe a doctor they've never seen before. So free downloads, links to all the very important information on how to get the best in healthcare.
Dr. Liu, thank you so much. This has been so insightful, so informative. Go to his website, davisliumd.com, DAVISLIUMD.com. Thank you again for taking time out of your busy schedule to be with me today.
I'm so thrilled to be invited. Thank you so much.
You are welcome. This is Donna Sebo. We're taking a break. Don't you go anywhere now. We'll be right back.
If you're searching for the perfect gift for a child, consider God's Kiss by Donna Sebo. That's right. Donna is not only a mental practitioner and psychic, she's an author as well. God's Kiss beckons all children and the young at heart to enter the dream world of a little traveler named Johnny. You can order your book today by sending a check or money order to Mrs. Sebo's Classics, Post Office Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497. That's Post Office Box 97272. Tacoma, Washington, 98497. If you'd like both the book and cassette, you pay $19.95 plus applicable tax and shipping charges. This is the book for your favorite child of any age. Donna Sebo's God's Kiss is about a child's sense of place in the world, and it's destined to be a children's classic. Order now. Call 800-872-8852. God's Kiss is written by Donna Sebo and illustrated by Ed Ged Rose. Buy it today. 800-872-8852.
Hello, this is Dr. Richard Petty, the author of Healing, Meaning, and Purpose, and creator of the RichardGPettyND.com website. I am thrilled and delighted to tell you that starting February 7th, 2008, at 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern, I'm going to be joining my friend Donna Sebo on her show on bbsradio.com. We're going to do this every month, and I can guarantee you that we're going to be sharing new information and new concepts that will astonish and inspire you.
Donna Sebo publishes a popular, inspirational, and insightful newsletter filled with information about her upcoming guests, her travel schedule, seminar presentations, and upbeat articles to lighten up your life. You can subscribe to this free monthly newsletter by emailing her at Donna@DelphiInternational.com. That's Donna@DelphiInternational.com. You can also go to her website, www.DelphiInternational.com, and review past publications. Keep in touch with Donna through this monthly publication. Again, her email address is Donna@DelphiInternational.com, and her website is www.DelphiInternational.com.
Hi, this is Donna Sebo. Telephone lines are now open. Give me a call if you'd like for me to light up your life with a little bit of intuitive insight. 877-876-5227 for the U.S., 877-876-5227. Canadians, 888-815-9756. That's 888-815-9756. And for everywhere else, 530-876-3222. Now remember, all I need from you is your first name or your initial, and then after that, let me do what I do, and then you're welcome to ask me a question about anything that you like. We do have a caller on the line waiting before I go to that caller. However, I want to let you know that for those of you who are listening that are in Europe, I am going to be a featured guest on REM.FM.com radio, and it's REM.FM.com, and that will be at 2:40 or 2:20 in the afternoon, Spain's time zone. And of course, it'll be quite early for me here, but that's okay. I had the privilege of being a guest on the program. This is going to be June the 9th, so anyone, anywhere can hear this live broadcast, and I did a guest appearance with them a couple of weeks ago, and they've invited me back. So I wanted to let you know that through that website, you could listen to the broadcast live wherever you might be. Anyway, I also wanted to say we're ready for the caller. Let's go to our first caller of the day. Don't forget, you can call me at 877-876-5227, 888-815-9756, and 530-876-3222. Hello, caller. Welcome to the show.
Hello. I'm calling about my mother who has passed on, and I would like to know if she can hear me when I talk to her and if you can connect me to her.
No, dear, I'm not going to be able to do that. And I know you have called me about this before, and that's fine, and I understand why you're calling back, but at this moment I'm not getting any real strong impressions about her at all. By the way, give me your first name.
My first name is Elaine.
And where are you calling from, Elaine?
New Jersey.
From New Jersey. Well, Elaine, I'll tell you right off the bat, your mother will always be able to hear you. But I want to ask you a question, because I know that this is something that is so important to you, and you have called in a number of times asking this very same question. I'd like to ask you a question. Why is it that you are not at peace and cannot let go of your mother having passed away? When did she pass away, first of all?
About 4 years ago.
All right.
It'll be 4 years this August.
Your mother is at peace and has a lot of joy in her space. Why is it you have not been able to be at peace yourself?
Well, because I'm very close to her, very attached to her, extremely close. And if I had done more, could I have prevented her passing?
No. No. The fact that you were close to her, again, I'd want to go back to the question. And the reason I'm asking you, Elaine, is because you are imprisoning yourself. You are limiting yourself from experiencing joy, freedom, and an abundance of good in your life. And I know that you've got this pain, and I know, because you've called before, I'm aware of this. And I'm not asking you these questions without purpose. I would love for you to be free, because in my view, When you really love someone, you don't try to possess them, whether they're here in this expression or they've passed on. And you're not moving forward. Your mother has, but you're not. And I really would like to see you unencumbered in that way. What do you think you might be able to do to have a release from this?
Well, if she could come back in a dream or something so I could hug her and kiss her, and I'd read about visitations. I would like her to visit me and tell her how much I love her and hug her and kiss her.
Well, if that doesn't happen, because sometimes that doesn't happen. Sometimes that doesn't happen with people. What do you think you could do to help you be able to gain the sense of release so that you could allow your mother to be who she is, to be where she is, and not hang on to her?
Have an after-death communication would help me.
All right, but what if you don't have that?
If I don't have it, then I find it hard to handle the grief.
Why is that the case?
Well, it would make me feel so good, because I read about Hell from Heaven, and I read about these people have these after-death communities, and I believe in life after death, and I say, gee, I wish that I could have those experiences that these people have had, because I do believe in my heart. I believe in after-death communication.
Well, that is a reality. That is very real. But sometimes when we try so hard, we actually create blocks. You are wanting results on your terms. And in doing that, there may be experiences that you can have that are going to make you aware. Your mother may have at different times tried to communicate with you, but because you've got a particular picture in your mind, you're locked into that picture. So what I'd love to see you do, and of course you're the only one that can do it, is to let go of the demand that it happened a certain way. It may not happen the way that you expect. I've had experiences with people that have passed on, and they may just say, I want you to give a message to someone else, and they don't have anything for me whatsoever. And it's okay. They have the right to choose what they're going to do. And you may well be blocking the opportunity. So I think what I'd like to encourage you to do is maybe sit down and write a letter to your mom, put all of your feelings into it, and then just say, whenever you're ready, I'll be ready. And then get on with your life.
Okay, I'll try.
Because I can tell you at this time that I don't feel in any way, as far as your mother's concerned, that she really is that bothered with what's going on in this experience. She's about expanding her own wherever she is at this time. So if you can relax about this and just say, just let it be and just relax. I really mean this sincerely. The more you're trying to force it, the more you're trying to do it, the harder it's going to be for her to even communicate with you, because you're wanting it so badly, you're actually putting a wall up. And usually the visitations and things happen with people when they're relaxed, when they're not planning anything, when they're not expecting anything. It's just there.
Does she know what's going on in my life? Does she know?
If she's interested, she does. But I can't speak for your mother at this time.
Okay.
Relax and let go. You're the one that lives your life, hon, not your mother.
Okay. Thank you so much. I appreciate talking with you.
You're welcome, Elaine. Try to relax about this, hon, because the harder you try, the thicker the wall is going to be between you and the other side.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome, Elaine. This is Donna Sebo. We're going to take a break for just a minute, but we'll be back if you want to give me a call. 877-876-5227, 888-815-9756, or 530-876-3222. We're going to be back in just a moment.
Do you want to lose weight? Do you deal with diabetes, high blood pressure, osteoporosis, or chronic pain? Do you want to know one of Dr. Perricone's 7 secrets to beauty, health, and longevity? Do you have 15 minutes a day to look and feel better? Then let me introduce you to TTAP, the workout that works. For the beginner or expert exerciser, learn from physical training specialist Teresa Tapp how, in just 15 minutes a day, you can burn fat and sugar, build strong bones and muscles, and lose inches fast with no equipment or jumping. Visit the TTAP website, ttap.com, or call 1-800-342-0717 to learn how. That's TTAPP.com. We'll help you lose inches, look good, and feel fabulous at TTAP. 1-800-342-0717, ttap.com.
As a counselor, Donna Sebo is available for private consultations by appointment. These can be done by telephone or in person. If you'd like to schedule an appointment with Donna, call 253-582-5604 or 800-872-8852. That's 253-582-5604 or outside of Pierce County, 800-872-8852.
Hi, this is Donna. Give me a buzz, 877-876-5227. Canadians, 888-815-9756 or 530-876-3222. Let's go to our next caller. Welcome to the show, first name or initial, and where are you calling from?
Karen from Phoenix, Arizona.
Hi, Karen.
Hi.
How's Phoenix?
I'm sorry?
How is Phoenix?
Hotter than heck.
Oh, well, you can keep that. Now, here in the Pacific Northwest, we've been huffing and puffing, and a lot of people have been moaning and groaning because we've had sleet, we've had snow, we've had hail, we've had rain, and then the sun comes out. Of course, I don't mind because my garden is just glowing with color, and I absolutely love it, but I don't like high temps, so I'm glad you've got them there. Thank you very much. I'll take the cool weather here in the Pacific Northwest.
Oh, it sounds absolutely like something we would all want to do.
Oh, it's fabulous. Of course, I'm a bit biased having lived here for a few years, but I just love spring. I just think it's gorgeous. Let's get down to business with you, hon. First thing, Karen, I'm seeing a great deal of paperwork. I am looking at you sorting through things, and I have to laugh because I'm seeing a shredder on the side, and you're going, this is going. And the machine's running, things are being shredded, and it's like, you are clearing stuff out. You're saying, enough is enough, I am definitely focused, I am definitely looking at what is worth keeping and what isn't, and you're being methodical about it. I'm going to say congratulations, this is a great time to do it, because in 4 weeks I don't see you having too much time to be able to do this. Also, what I'm watching with you is a reevaluation of what your priorities are. This is coming about, I think, during the summer because there is a seminar that I believe you're going to be attending. And you're sitting through it, and it's sort of the attitude of, oh, ho, hum, is this really where I want to be? And then there's a speaker that's going to be coming to the platform. And there's something about this person that just grabs you, and it's as if this person has brought wake-up drops for every brain that's in the room. Marvelous, marvelous information. And you're saying, boy, I needed this. All the other stuff just seems to be like a recording that someone made that I've heard before. But this individual is bringing a vitality, something that's a shift, and it's coming from them. It's emanating from them. And that energy, along with their words and their down-to-earth practicality, you are just delighting in it. and you walk away from that seminar and you think, this is what I'm doing. I'm clearing away a lot of dead wood. And you are on so many different levels. And you're really doing a pretty good job. I think you've been working towards this for a good 6 months anyway. And this just seems to give you the extra ammunition you need to really get the job done. So I'm very impressed with what I'm seeing evolving with you. I do think you've got quite a bit of work ahead of you this fall, but you're going to have so much in order prior to then. And one of the things you are going to have to watch out for is getting distracted too easily. You're going to need to say, I have an agenda, this is what I must do, and I'm going to stay focused on this. Even though I may have some interferences, I will do what I need to do to get things done. That determined, focused discipline is going to do more good for you than anything else. And I guarantee you by the middle of summer, you're just going to feel like you've got the tiger by the tail, and you're going to be swinging it around your head, and you're going to say, I'll tell this tiger which direction it's going to go. And that is the way you need to be. And I think you're getting past a lot of what has burdened you for the last 2 to 4 years. You're coming up to the apex of the conditions so that you can put them behind you. And it all takes time. I just don't know of any way to speed it up. What's your question for me today?
Money.
Mm-hmm.
I'm looking at money right now and deadlines with money.
All right. When you're looking at the deadlines with money, then your focus, how do you see that your focus needs to be directed with that?
Just getting everything done and taken care of.
All right. So if that's what you need to do, that's what you need to do. I don't think there's any magic bullet here. In fact, I know there is.
Okay.
Have confidence and faith in yourself. Put one foot in front of the other, and that focused discipline will pay off.
Okay.
You don't need to beg for it. You just need to know it, expect that it's going to be there, and allow any open option that comes to you. It's workable.
Okay.
It's that focused discipline that will turn the corner.
All right.
And I want to thank you for your call, dear.
Thank you.
You're very welcome. You enjoy your day.
You too. Thank you.
You're welcome. This is Donna Sebo, and phone line is open 877-8765-227-888-815-9756. I do want to let you know about the guests that are coming up. My goodness, what a great lineup we have. We're going to be talking about secrets of cats' attitudes. They're revealed. Carolyn Bartz is going to be on air with me tomorrow. If you are one of these feline lovers, you're going to really enjoy Carolyn Bartz. And then we're going to be talking about facing the lion, being the lion. Mark Nepo is my guest, and we are just going to find out so much about you. Then we're going to get a little bit into ecology, trash talk. We're not talking about foul language. We're talking about plastic, paper, etc. Lillian Brummett is going to be my guest. Wonderful publication. And then Richard Fuller. We're going to be talking about All Rise. And it's very empowering. So we have a great lineup of guests this week. Wonderful guests next week. So be sure to check with BBS on the 1st for the listing of guests that I have. And then also you'll find them in my newsletter. My goodness, I'm watching the clock and we are out of time. Remember always, you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. It is so important that you recognize your personal responsibility to self and to wellness. My guest, Dr. Lou, has this fabulous book, but more than that, is, as a physician, is one of the new generation that says, let's look at prevention instead of going the other way. Take care of yourself. Hey, we want you back here listening to BBSRadio.com, The Donna Sebo Show. More importantly, you will be richer for doing it, and you will bless the lives of all the people around you. But most importantly, you will have the best opportunities available to you because you take care of yourself. God bless. Talk with you tomorrow. Same time, same place, right here at bbsradio.com. Bye for now.
You have been listening to The Donna Sebo Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Sebo Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.